It's time for real talk, real thoughts, from a real woman. And that red hot woman is Cinnamon. Let's get real. Sit back, relax. It's time for your little dose of Cinnamon now.
Thank you once again, my creamy intro man. Hello, everyone, and thank you once again for joining for another episode of Cinnamon Chronicles. I, of course, am Cinnamon, your navigator on this crazy cruise of chronicles of life from the perspective of a single middle-aged woman. Today's episode is entitled Indie. There is nothing greater than being in the city of Indianapolis during the month of May. You can't help but get into the excitement of the 500 with all the activities that they have, the race, the breakfast, the foot races that they have, just all of the celebration and all of the pageantry of the 500 is hot and heavy in the month of May. And that's one thing when I first moved to Indianapolis, I was bound and determined to experience, because I remember watching the 500 when I was a little girl with my grandfather back in the day. My mom, she always listened to it. And that's actually is my preferred way of listening or to hearing the races, to listen to it. Because it I love the audio stimulation of it. They're just nonstop. And of course, it's great having it on TV as well. I've been to the race and I've experienced the race in person, but I actually prefer to listen to it or actually watch it on TV because you can see all the things that are going on. You can see what's going on in the pits. You can see what's going on in the penthouses. You can see what's going on every turn. I mean, fucking have a camera at every angle anymore. And, you know, television with the technology these days, hell, they even have them on their cars anymore. So you can ride along with the drivers and experience the feeling of being involved in Indy. That's always been one thing that's always been very, very exciting to me. I thought it was exciting for the state of Indiana to host that spectacle because, again, there is nothing like it. And there's nothing like the sound of the wheels hitting that track. And I know it's very similar, I guess, also with NASCAR, but I've always kind of been an IndyCar girl. I love the way that sound, or way that engine sounds, when they fire up and when they're rolling across that track. There's nothing like it. I got to go to the race. I think it was back in the 90s, maybe in the 80s. I'm not really sure. I think it was the 90s. If you're going to go to the race, the best way to go to the race is to get preferred entrance into the track. I was very fortunate to know I was friends of the daughter of the woman that actually was the administrative assistant for the mayor, Hudnut, at the time. So I was good friends with her mom, and I was actually able to be in the preferred area with the group of people I ran. And we were actually policed in a convoy. And yes, girl, we went to the track. We went to the race with a keg in the back of the fucking truck and people sitting in the tailgate. Yes, we weren't in chairs, but we were doing it the wrong way. But you know what? We had a good time. Once we made it inside, we got a little lost from the people we originally started with. But when we made it inside, it was awesome. I can't believe that they actually closed those streets down. And the amount of people getting into that track is just physically amazing. So after my mom decided it was important for me to move to central Indiana to be with my aunt, to have better opportunities, of course it was the spring. And one of the first things I did when I moved up here, of course, I had to go to the track. I had to go do the tour of the museum, look at the, you know, all the memorabilia and the cars and get in and out of the car and just check everything out. And of course I had to get in the little bus and ride around the track itself, because there was just something about riding around the track. And of course you're riding around at 55 miles an hour, of course, and you're looking around and you're thinking, wow, this must be really what it's like to actually be riding around on the track here. So there's just so much memorabilia. And I grew up watching drivers like AJ Foyt and the Unser brothers and Mario Andretti. You know, Danny Sullivan, Danny Anguias, and yes, I remember the very first woman driver, Janet Guthrie, when she actually drove for the first time in a race. And I remember how cool and how exciting that was, and just all that pageantry and all that tradition. And I'm amazed. One of the things I was amazed with is riding around on the tour is how narrow that area is there, how narrow the track was, and I'm absolutely fucking amazed how they can get 33 cars, 11 rows of three cars, and they can fit in there. And I mean, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty decent driver, but oh my God, I'd probably be so stinking nervous. I'd probably fucking run into somebody, you know, not that I'm normally a terrible driver, but you know, I just think it's absolutely amazing. And you know, as you're going through and you're looking at those cars and you're like, what the fuck? And some things are so small, and it's like, I don't think even, you know, when I was a teenager, I'd be able to fit in the car. So, you know, the drivers have to be, you know, slim and trim and all that kind of stuff. Because I gotta tell you, it's fucking tiny in there, and you've got to be tiny in order to get into that spot, because it's just a very, very tight spot. It's like, I don't know, with all that heat and shit, I would suffocate. I don't think I would like it very much. So yeah, again, the whole thing was kind of intriguing to me, and it was intriguing me ever since I was a little girl. But the nice thing is about, you know, my uncle happened to be a part of an organization that actually set up the affiliates for the track when the network would come in to set up the satellite systems to cover everything. My uncle would be out there and helping them get all that set up and help coordinating that. So he practically spent the entire month of May practically out of the track. And of course it had its benefits. Of course, you know, he had pit passes and he also had tickets into the garage area. So when out there one day, and I'm, you know, I was so excited because I was actually going to actually get to be up close and personal with some of the stuff that actually I watched on television. And the very first time I walked into the pit area, and I mean, you know, people were just casually walking around, and you know, you've got all the drivers are out there, some drivers are out there practicing, and you know, I remember walking up and down the pit area, because, you know, there were several drivers out one day, and I remember just kind of sitting on the wall and hanging my legs over the wall, and there happened to be an area right next to me, and I hadn't really, you know, didn't really have any idea who it was, you know, who was next to me, and all of a sudden he came into the pit area, and it was Danny Anguias. And it was so cool because I was watching his air group work around him, and I happened to lock eyes with him, and I mean, it was just the coolest fucking thing ever to actually be witnessing something like that. And I think I even saw Allenser Jr., I mean, when he was a rookie out there. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, I saw a lot of really cool things, and it was really, really cool. And going back into the garage area too, where, you know, all the stuff is going on, and, you know, and, you know, Penske teams, or all those racing teams are out there with their big ass semis, with their big ass, you know, big trucks and big all gear and stuff, and all just all that, you know, pomp and circumstance and stuff. And it was just really, really cool. And yes, there was a time I actually did get to see Paul Newman, and it was the coolest fucking thing ever. But another cool thing that I actually did being part of it, I thought one year, you know, it'd been a while since I've been. I'm thinking, you know, I want to do something kind of fun and that's involved. That's kind of involved with the festivities of May. And I decided to be a banquet server because I'm thinking, ah, shit. You know, I've been a server. I worked at Chi Chi's. I slung margaritas. I can do this. So I signed up to be a banquet server. And actually, the ones that I actually signed up for was the breakfast. And then I also actually got to serve actually at the driver dinner when they had the At the ceremony they have, the night after the race, I actually got to serve dinner, and it was, that was really, really cool. I got to be next to the group that actually served the driver, so it was really kind of cool to be up close and personal there as well. But this, you know, being a server, banquet server, you know, you got to be there. We had to be at the crack ass of dawn because, of course, it was a fucking breakfast. So, you know, we had to be there at the crack ass of dawn. But the year I did it, it was the year that Disney actually are the ones that sponsored it. And I remember, you know, it was cool going through all the breakfast and service. And then all of a sudden the party started. And then, oh my God, before you know it, things were blowing up. And then, of course, you know, it's like, all this party started and characters were showing up, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have to stay and clean up, and like the last few minutes, they had this explosion of fucking confetti, and it was going everywhere, and it was in everything, and it was, I swear to God, it must have been 2 feet piled on the floor. And I remember after it was all over with, I'm like, Jesus, we gotta clean this fucking shit up. And it's like this is just so much fucking confetti. Corporation Day was always one of my favorite things to do also during race season. When I actually started working for the phone company myself, some friends and I actually, every year that was our thing, we would go to Carb Day, and good God, we'd be there, you know, early in the morning. How we'd be drinking Bloody Marys at fucking 6 a.m. actually, but I think I still do that on occasion, but with a different group of people. Anyway, we got there, and I mean, of course, you know, you're trashed, you're sitting there, you're, you know, you're watching the Carb Day activities. And if you don't know anything about Carb Day, essentially what they do is they have a pit crew competition, and essentially the teams square off against each other to crown the number one pit crew of the year. And it's really cool to see, because you get to see a lot of the precision and teamwork they actually need in order to keep that driver in the race and keep things going for him. So it's a really cool and fun thing to actually participate in. I only went to the race one time, and it was actually the part I was talking about earlier, you know, when we went in the convoy and we were loaded up in the back of a truck drinking beer with a big old keg. And yes, we were in the back of the truck, you know, when sitting in tailgates and you know, when it wasn't, you know, not cool to sit in a tailgate. Yeah, we were partying. I mean, we were partying. God, it was just a continuation of the night before. I would not recommend that. It makes for a very, very long day. But it was great, because this is the one reason when I went to the race, probably why I didn't go back again, because we ended up not really having seats, but we were in the infield, so we partied, and occasionally, you know, we would get to switch seats with the people we came with and kind of get a look and go up there and sit and watch the race. And I remember I was all excited about going up there, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to get to see. And it's like, what the fuck is this? First of all, they're going so damn fast you can't even see anything. It was kind of like when I was at the Derby. You know, when I was at the third turn at the Derby, the start of the race. I got to see the start of the race. And then I got to see, you know, I could hear the horses coming around the track, but I really couldn't see them. You know, because they were just whizzing by me so fast. It was kind of the same thing. So I was like, nah. So I always, again, resorted to listening to them on my headphones. So that was always my favorite thing to do. But, you know, now, you know, that I don't go, I mean, I've decided that the best way to watch the race actually is actually on television. You know, you have more coverage. You get to see the indoor. And now, you know, they've got it where even when they go on fucking commercials, you can actually still watch the race. So it's really like you don't really miss anything. And you know, then you got all this other stuff and stories and stuff that actually, you know, is going on throughout the way. So that's the way I like to watch it anymore. You know, it kind of works for me. You know, if you need to go to the bathroom, you're not really missing anything. You're not to fight anybody. You know, you can, you know, sit and watch in your underwear if you want to, or in naked if you want to. You can just watch it the way you want to, and not that I do, but, you know, I get to watch it in the privacy of my home now. But it doesn't mean those were not good times for me. I certainly enjoyed them, but I decided the only way that I will go back to the race is if I can get these really, really good seats. And damn, now I think those seats, shit, you got to get them, you know, willed to you. I think they're in families now. But the perfect place to sit for me at the track would be on the very first turn. And here's why. You could on there when you're on the first turn, you can see what's going on in the main straightaway there. You can also see what's going on the fourth turn. You see them coming into the pits. You know, you can see them coming in. Oops, messing with the mic here. I'm getting all excited. See them coming into the pits. You can see them coming out of the pits. You can see what's going on in the first turn, the short shoot, the second turn. The only thing you're really missing is the third turn. And if you're sitting by a big fucking jumbotron, you're really not going to miss that either. But ultimately, even though it's changed throughout the years from Jim Nabors no longer singing Back Home Again in Indiana to the Scottish, you know, bagpipers walking around, you know, there's just something about it. And the energy, the excitement is always something that I really enjoyed being a part of. And it was really fun to actually, you know, just to be involved in it. And even just in small, simple ways, that it's something that I will never, ever forget. And I always remember when I'm sitting down and watching it on my couch with a nice cold beverage in my hand. One thing I don't recommend you do if you're going to party the night before a race is to go to a place where they actually kind of block you in, where you actually can't get out because they closed the roads down. I made the mistake of doing that one time when I was actually dating a guy that I actually was dating while I was going to school in college, and he lived, of course, in Speedway, and we were dating at that time, and things were kind of, you know, a little strained between us. You know, it was kind of weird, and every year he had a party before, you know, the Saturday night before the race, and so he's like, you know, I want you to come, and I'm like, well, okay, well, you know, damn, we are dating. It's like, I want you to come. And I'm like, okay. And I hadn't really met a lot of his friends, so it was kind of a new situation for me, and I didn't really know what to expect. So, you know, I'm like showing up, and I'm like, hi, I'm Dave's girlfriend. And it's like, oh, yeah, hi. And, you know, everybody was kind of acting kind of weird. So, you know, I'm like, fuck this, you know. So I just start drinking and, you know, and meet up with some friends and start smoking. And I notice it's like, where the fuck is Dave? It's like, I haven't seen him for a while. And it's like, you know, he disappeared. And I'm like, anybody know where he's at? And he's like, die, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And everybody was just like, really, really weird. And I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on? And, you know, come to find out, I mean, you know, there was a couple times I just started drinking. And I mean, there were after a while, you know, I'm like, oh, fuck this, man. I got to go to bed. And I ended up going to bed. And of course, I'm sleeping. And in the middle of the night, I hear this rushing coming into the bedroom, and I'm laying there, and I jump up and I look, and people were coming up and coming into the bedroom, and they're like, oh damn, somebody's already here with some. And I'm like, yeah, I said, I'm sleeping. And like, and they're like, oh, he said she was up here with some guy. And I'm like, the fuck are they talking about? Well, hell, I was hungover, I didn't think anything of it. And then the next day, you know, I'm like, I asked him, I'm like, you know, where'd you disappear to? I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't see ya. Oh, I was just partying. And it's like, okay, I didn't, you know, stupid me. Something kind of went off a little bit in my head, but it's like, okay. Well, he proceeded to treat me like shit that entire day. And I'm like, you know, damn, when I'm sober enough to get my ass out of here, I'm on the fucking road. And I didn't hear, basically didn't hear anything from him for quite some time. And because I distanced myself, I'm like, you know, I'm not dealing with this shit. And I remember him calling me sometime later, and he's like, hey, come over for dinner. And, you know, one of the things we'd love to do, of course, I liked getting high with him, you know, because he always had the good shit, man. And I was just in one of those moods, and he always knew what kind of music to play, you know, if I was in a certain mood. I didn't really have to tell him, he started playing music. And we were sitting there, and I was smoking, and I'm like, you know what?
I asked him, I'm like, you know, what happened? I mean, like, where did you go that night? And he fucking told me, he confessed to me that he was fucking somebody else at the party that night. And it's like, and yet he told everybody that I was fucking somebody else upstairs. And it's like, fucking motherfucker. And it's like, I actually could not, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, okay, what the fuck ever. And I know I was, at that point I just completely shut down. And I remember just, of course I'd been drinking a little bit and I was a little high. And I just told him, I'm like, you know, you need to just move away from me and leave me alone. And he was like trying to get me to dance with him and shit. And I'm like, no, really, I need to sober up over here. You just need to leave me alone. And I remember kind of curling up in a little ball and falling asleep the next, you know, sleeping just long enough to, you know, to sober up and get my ass out of there. And, you know, I got out of there and went home and I went to work. And a couple of days later, he doesn't hear from me. That was it for me. I'm like, done. I'm like, done, dude. I'm done. Fucking done with you. And I remember him calling me like months later. It's like, hey, you want to go out? Nope. Don't want to go out. And I remember him saying, you know, kept trying to get me to, you know, you want to go out? And I'm like, fuck no, motherfucker. I ain't going out with you. It's like, you know, fuck you, Dave. It's like, really? You know, and I remember him making a comment about something about not doing something, eating pussy or doing something right. And I'm like, yeah, you motherfucker, it wasn't just that. It was a whole lot of other shit. But it's like, you know, that wasn't my best party experience with the 500, but it taught me a little bit about, you know, trusting stupid motherfuckers and going to parties with people that you really don't know and hoping you don't get stuck. Thank you once again for joining me on this episode of Cinnamon Chronicles. It's been great having you along, great talking to you, and great sharing. I hit a milestone this week. I hit my 200th play on my podcast. It's been really, really exciting to know that people are listening and to know that at least someone thinks it's funny. It's going to be a Memorial Day weekend, hopefully for us all to remember. Let's all be safe out there. Let's all be kind to one another. And let's all remember, not to forget to remember those who are fallen, who died for us, because that's the whole reason for the weekend. Until my friends, thank you once again. And we will see you once again next week for another episode of Cinnamon Chronicles. Let's all just keep moving forward. We all know that it's never a straight line. Enjoy the curves, but stay in your lane.